From the Moen Broadcast Center at KPCC, this is The Frame. I'm John Horn. On today's show, what are the Connors without Roseanne? Tonight, ABC debuts a new version of the sitcom without its original star. Could the show actually be better?
Because Roseanne Barr is no longer there with the cast is able to sort of bounce off each other more freely.
And Peter Dinklage is the star and producer of a new movie about Hervé Villechaize. The actor who played Tattoo on Fantasy Island found power through stardom.
His fame controlled the reason why people turned when he walked into a room. It wasn't because of his size. It was because he was famous.
All that coming up on The Frame.
Podcasting supported by Fox Searchlight Pictures. Based on a true story, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Stars Melissa McCarthy as Lee Israel, an author who turns her art into deception when she can't make ends meet. In select theaters Friday.
Welcome to The Frame. I'm John Horn. Thanks for joining us. The Connor family of Lanford, Illinois is back on television tonight with one glaring absence, the former title character of the ABC sitcom, Roseanne Connor. You probably remember what happened to Roseanne Barr, the actress and comedian who co-created and starred in the original series and the very popular reboot earlier this year. After Barr posted a racist tweet about former Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett, ABC fired her in May. Tonight, the show is back, or maybe born again, retitled The Connors and scrubbed of any connection to Barr. Lorraine Ollie, the TV critic at the LA Times, got a preview of the first two episodes of the show. I suspected she couldn't, but I still asked if she could tell us anything about how the writers of The Connors explained Roseanne's sudden disappearance.
You are correct. I cannot answer you at all on that because there was such a heavy embargo on information about Roseanne going into this. The network didn't want those who were able to see the show ahead of time talking about what's happened to Roseanne. So we're going to have to talk in like really vague terms, which I'm sure is great for people who haven't seen the show.
Well, I'll ask a specific but vague question, and that is, was it well handled? Was the solution they came up with creative and satisfying, even if you can't tell us exactly what it was?
Yes. I think they did a pretty amazing job with the Connors, given what they're up against. You know, they're coming back with this show that was launched and spun out of Roseanne without Roseanne. So the way they dealt with it in this pilot is pretty artful, and it's also funny, and it's also moving. And it's just really interesting without her in the mix, the kind of new dynamic that arises in the family is entertaining, but it's also a little more interesting than it was before, just because we've seen the Connors with Roseanne for so long.
Well, I think you raise a couple of interesting points, and that is when Roseanne was fired for her racist tweet about Valerie Jarrett, the show was the number one series on TV. So how much of that appeal was tied to her specifically, and without her on the show, does it feel as if it's an extension or a completely new thing?
Well, initially, I think the appeal was Roseanne. I think, you know, Roseanne Barr's coming back. But, you know, also there was, you know, Laurie Metcalf, who plays her sister Jackie in the show. You know, she has an amazing career that's, you know, she's done a lot of great things in between the time that Roseanne was on the air before and the reboot. So she was also a big draw as well. But I think it was, you know, seeing Roseanne in the Trump era. You know, what does this look like? And so many of the things that, you know, she talked about back in the 80s and 90s are topical now. So I think the draw initially was seeing her again. I think now with the Connors coming back without her, that's also a draw. You know, how do they handle this without this really cantankerous figure at the front of the family? And the dynamic is different. It's not the Connors, you know, kind of copying what they did with Roseanne, without Roseanne in the mix. Because Roseanne Barr is no longer there with the cast is able to sort of bounce off each other more freely. So you see these really great moments between Laurie Metcalf, who plays her sister Jackie, and Sarah Gilbert, who plays Darlene, Roseanne's daughter. They really kind of step up into the strong female role, and some of their exchanges are hysterical. And overall, the writing is really funny as well. So you kind of see a more natural dynamic between the other characters, whereas Barr was always the one we kind of relied on to deliver the punchline. Now that's mixed around the whole cast, and it creates a really kind of different flow around that kitchen table.
There was criticism in some circles that ABC's firing of Roseanne was Hollywood punishing a Trump supporter. Does the show without her still retain some political diversity? Will people who voted for Trump still find something to like or a character to root for?
You know, it's so funny that we can find anything as divisive right now. I mean, even Roseanne, even, you know, a sitcom is divisive. I don't necessarily agree with the idea that, you know, ABC was punishing her for being a Trump supporter. There's many reasons why that doesn't quite work with, you know, the way that Roseanne arrived when it came back in the reboot and the way that she went down. I don't think really has a whole lot to do with her supporting Trump. But at this point, the Conners are more about universal issues. So far, I've seen two episodes, but the two episodes that I've seen of the Conners are more about universal issues rather than political issues. Sure, they talk about the lack of health care. They talk about, you know, low wages and unstable jobs and things like that. But there's not as much, you know, about Trump specifically or about Islamophobia or some of the things they talked about before in Roseanne in the Conners so far.
I think it's probably pretty obvious that without Roseanne, the show is not likely to be as big a ratings hit as it was before. But could it become a better show? In some ways, have the show creators been forced to ask themselves what the Conners really is about? And could it be that they are now going to make something that is even better than it was when it came back the first time?
That's a really good question. I actually think it is better. I think what I've seen so far is better than what I saw of the Roseanne reboot, which I liked the Roseanne reboot. But I think you're right in that. But I think the idea that they do that, I think the idea that the writers do have to figure out what this show is really about is kind of happening before our eyes now that Roseanne isn't there taking up all the room. I think out of the gate, there may be curiosity in terms of what's this going to look like. And the ratings might be high. I don't know. But I think it is a better show already just because the writing's sharper and the cast has room to breathe.
Lorraine Ollie is the TV critic for the LA Times. Lorraine, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you, John.
The Conners debuts on ABC tonight. Coming up, Peter Dinklage stars in a new movie about the troubled life of Fantasy Island actor Hervé Villechaize.
Podcasting supported by Fox Searchlight Pictures, presenting Can You Ever Forgive Me? Melissa McCarthy stars as real-life celebrity biographer turned literary forger Lee Israel. Richard E. Grant co-stars as her accomplice, Jack, in select theaters Friday.
Welcome back to The Frame. I'm John Horn. Fantasy Island made its premiere on ABC in 1977, and at one point it became the most popular show on television. Each episode opened with overhead shots of a remote island, then a dwarf wearing a white tuxedo rang a bell in a tower and yelled,
Deplane!
That became the catchphrase for Tattoo, the character played by French actor Hervé Villechaize. He'd previously played Nick Knack in the James Bond film The Man with a Golden Gun, and those two roles made Villechaize a recognizable celebrity, if not a household name. But by 1993, almost all of that fame and glory was behind him. In September of that year, he took his own life. Before he committed suicide, Villechaize gave one last interview. It was with a young British journalist named Sasha Gervaisi. He'd been sent to L.A. to write a Where Are They Now type story. What Gervaisi actually experienced was something deeper, weirder, and more inspiring. And his interview became the basis for the new HBO movie, My Dinner with Hervé, which Gervaisi wrote and directed. Game of Thrones star Peter Dinklage plays Villechaize. Dinklage is also a producer on the film, which premieres on HBO this weekend. It took them more than 14 years to get the movie made.
And literally someone said to me, Sasha, the suicidal dwarf movie is literally the single most uncommercial concept for a feature film.
I wouldn't see it.
Yes, even Peter wouldn't see it. So it was really a struggle.
When I sat down with Gervaisi and Dinklage, Gervaisi began with why he stuck with his story for so long, and he started with that first meeting with Hervé Villechaize in 1993.
By this time, the time I met him, he was a bit of a quote-unquote has-been. It was a bit, had this sort of Sunset Boulevard feeling to the interview, and I met him and asked all the expected questions about the obvious things about Bond and Fantasy Island, and as always, packing my stuff away. I noticed out of the corner of my eye some rapid movement, and I turned to my right to see Hervé was standing 2 feet from me, and he was holding a lock knife that he'd been using to eat his duck à l'orange. He was holding it to my throat, just inches from my throat, and I was just like, oh my God. I was about to be shivved to death by, you know, Tattoo from Fantasy Island. I was like, what? It was just so bizarre. It was like a Fellini movie. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I didn't really understand what was going on. And he said to me, I've told you all the bullshit stories. Now, do you want to hear the real story of my life? And we met two more times. And so it was just this unbelievable story of this underdog who kind of triumphed against all odds and yet somehow had not quite found what he was looking for. And, you know, over the course of our three meetings, I found myself really connected with him for some reason. I don't know why. I think because he was at a certain point being so honest. And that really, I guess, affected me. And then I remember quite vividly, I was in my flat in South London. It was September the 4th, 1993, I think about 5:36 in the evening. And I got a call from Kathy Self, who was Hervé's girlfriend, to say that Hervé had committed suicide 4 or 5 hours before. And without thinking, I just suddenly started to cry because I had known in my instinct that something was going on. But until that moment, it didn't really make sense. And I listened back to the tapes and I realized that Hervé was planning to do this. He was going to kill himself and that I just happened to be really some random stranger there who he wanted to pour his heart out to.
Peter, it's clear that Sasha has a very deep personal connection to this story. This actor is essentially giving Sasha his last will and testament, more or less, as an interview. For you, did you have a different connection to the story that kept you attached to it through all these years and all those rejections?
Well, Sasha is like a dog that won't let go. He sort of kept me attached to it because I love the man, and he's absolutely such a brilliant writer. And again, just the idea of wanting to challenge myself with something I had never done before. Actors are usually in pursuit of that. They know what they do well, and sometimes they stick to that, and sometimes they challenge themselves, and I find more joy coming from that side of it all. Like Sasha said before, it's sort of, I will never be Hervé. That's the trick of playing somebody who was a real person, especially with not much historical distance from them, because everybody knows, if they don't know Hervé's life, if they don't know who he is, they know what his voice sounded like in the Fantasy Island little thing where he says about the plane. So that was a challenge to me. If I didn't master that, I didn't want to do the film.
And I said that to Peter. I said, you know, at a certain point, every role you've played, or most of them, are different versions of yourself.
Yeah.
And this is the first time you're going to be playing someone who is a character, a real person, who's totally different. And that's really the interesting terrain, because Hervé and Peter are so completely different. There are big contrasts, as well as similarities.
What also really attracted me to it was our similarities in terms of... there's a funny combination in both of us of sort of, for lack of a better word, anger and theatricality. I think we
as
share...
As people or as
Yeah,
performers?
No, as human beings.
Okay.
Well, don't tell John the truth, Peter. This is a radio program. You know,
shut up, director.
I mean, what I love about that moment that Sasha talked about earlier with, it's terrible what he did. Nobody should pull a knife on anyone else. But there's a very complicated thing that happens in that moment, and we have a moment similar to that in the film, where it's, because of his size, is it taken seriously? And is he being serious in that moment? Is he being really pissed off at Sasha, or is he being theatrical? Is he getting his attention? And I think it's a combination of everything, and that's what's so sort of beautifully complex about that moment, because Sasha's reaction is like, oh my God, this dwarf is pulling a knife on me. If it was like a big guy, it'd be terrifying. But it was in the moment, as Sasha describes it, but it's also sort of amusing So I sort of find that very complicated, not just because of who Hervé was, but because of how we respond to things and how we process things.
We're talking with Sasha Gervaisi, who's the writer and director of My Dinner with Hervé, and Peter Dinklage, who plays Hervé Villechaize in the film and is also one of its executive producers. I want to play a scene from the movie where Hervé actually does bring a knife. This is where he is trying to get signed by a talent agent, and he comes into this office unannounced of talent agent Marty Rothstein with a knife.
My name is Hervé Villechaize. I am the best French actor of his generation. And I need the best agent of his generation to represent me. You are the best, no?
Can you put the knife down, please?
Tomorrow creeps in this petty place from day to day.
Hervé Villechaize is doing Macbeth?
Let's complicate it more by doing Shakespeare. Thank God I used to do that monologue in acting class.
Is that true?
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
It's great.
What is it about that scene about Hervé's belief in himself and his determination to become an actor that he's willing to go to this very unusual length to try to get signed?
I had no idea what was going through Hervé's head. Oftentimes, when Sasha and I would talk about that. I just know from my vantage point that I think he was doing exactly what he was getting his attention. I mean, that's some balls right there. But I mean, I find that really, really fun.
I mean, I think that's really sums Hervé up. He was really ballsy. He had great courage. And remember, in the face of...
If you weren't going to open the door to him, he would knock it down.
That's right. And there was something wonderful about that because of, if you see a little bit from the film, his upbringing, how complicated it was being, you know, a dwarf in a family of three boys, the other three of whom were normal size, quote unquote, going through all these treatments, walking down the street in Paris and being attacked. So when, you know, André, the father, you know, sent him to New York with a few hundred dollars, you know, it was like, you're in danger here. You need to go, quote unquote, where the freaks go. And that he was embraced. And so he had this kind of defiance and this courage and this relentless need to be taken seriously and also to be seen and celebrated as he was, which is a really big thing for Hervé. And he had an incredible drive. And obviously it came from pain.
Well, Peter, I want to ask you about that because not only did he suffer great physical pain, he suffered great emotional pain. And I think a lot of people know him only as and mocked him for his plain line on Fantasy Island, that they didn't really understand the person or what he was struggling with. And when you start thinking about what Hervé was going through physically and emotionally, how important was that to what you were trying to depict in the film to kind of inform people that this guy really was suffering and he had an incredibly difficult life beyond what you would have imagined?
Yeah, no, it was tremendously important to me. I mean, I find the whole idea, I mean, he was very, he was a very proud man, and he came from a generation of where men were men, and then here he is sort of stuck in this sort of childlike body. That must be very hard as a man. There's many different forms of dwarfism, obviously, and I have a very different form than he does. But his form of dwarfism made his voice higher and his body sort of more proportionate in almost a childlike way. And how soul-crushing must that have been to a man like him? And therefore, he had to really rail against that in many different ways.
Coming up, more with Peter Dinklage and Sasha Gervaisi in their film about Hervé Villechaize. Dinklage draws a distinction between his experiences with dwarfism in Hollywood and those that Villechaize endured. Welcome back to The Frame. I'm John Horn.
I'm talking today with actor Peter Dinklage and filmmaker Sasha Gervaisi. They've made a movie together called My Dinner with Hervé. It's based on true events that took place in Los Angeles during the last week of August in 1993, when a young Gervaisi, played in the film by Jamie Dornan, interviews the actor Hervé Villechaize, who is played by Dinklage. The movie unfolds over one night of crazy partying and soul-bearing by Villechaize. The actor's first big film role was as Nick Knack, a knife-wielding assassin in the James Bond movie The Man with the Golden Gun. In one scene, Bond stuffs Nick Knack into an oversized suitcase, basically making fun of the character's dwarfism. Villechaize gained greater fame playing Tattoo in the hit TV show Fantasy Island, and even if he still enjoyed some of the fame from that series, by the time that My Dinner with Hervé begins, Villechaize was no longer in demand and had become bitter. Gervaisi and Dinklage have been trying to make this film ever since Dinklage starred in the 2003 movie The Station Agent, but it was his Game of Thrones success that finally helped make the movie happen. Dinklage told me he's not always comfortable with his own fame, but he understands why to Villechaize, fame was something he valued.
His fame controlled the reason why people turned when he walked into a room. It wasn't because of his size. It was because he was famous. Again, I can't claim to know what was going on in Hervé's head, but I feel that that's what empowered him. That sort of taking control of why people are doing a double take, seeing you. Not because of your size, but because of your fame. And that's great. And I understand that from, you know, being on a TV show myself. However, it's completely not real.
Can I just tell a story? As you're reminding that, I was reminded because obviously Peter and I have been working on this on and off for 14, 15 years. And then when Game of Thrones sort of kicked in a few years ago, we would continue to work. And I started to be conscious of Peter's popularity or whatever. We were actually at the Bowery Hotel. You may not remember this, about 6 or 7 years ago. And we were having lunch with...
I don't remember it because it was at the Bowery Hotel.
We were having lunch with Lynn Ramsey and Seamus McGarvey, I remember, and we were talking about... And Peter was constantly getting recognized. We were at a table, people were coming up, and it just became a real pain. We couldn't sort of have a conversation. And I said, after everyone left, I said, Pete, how do you cope with this? You may not remember what you said, but you said something that I never forgot. You said, it's got nothing to do with me, but I'm in charge of the me it's got nothing to do with, which I thought was a really interesting...
Did I say that?
You did. Because I thought, how do you process? I mean, literally, our conversation was interrupted probably 2 dozen times in the space of an hour.
Even if you don't remember it, Peter, what does that mean? It's a fascinating idea.
Well, it's what you do with it, I suppose. It's how it's the responsibility you have with it and what you do with responsibility. You know, I mean, we live in a very different time right now with people and their cell phones and taking pictures of everything, be it their breakfast or a movie star. It's just bizarre. And people aren't really living in the moment with somebody that they admire. Rarely do people, if they're fans of anything I've done, do they come up and say, hey, I love your work. They'll just take a picture from a distance, which is sort of creepy and stalkery of them to do. And it's hard to process on a day-to-day level, truly, as a human being, especially when you're with your children. It's very inappropriate. But I think in Hervé's time, there wasn't that. There were autographs and there were some paparazzi, and I think it was much more manageable to be in the public eye back then.
I want to ask you, Peter, about access to roles, because I think it's very important that Hervé Villechaize really became famous, more or less, for The Man with the Golden Gun, a James Bond film in which he was cast, in which his character was contingent on his size. That was the joke of the movie. And you, in The Station Agent, Tom McCarthy's great film, your physical attributes had nothing to do with the part that you were playing.
Well, they had some things,
something to do, but it wasn't the
it was me.
But it wasn't the idea of the part or of the character.
Well, you can't pretend it's not part of who I am. I think that's maybe equally not such great writing as people just completely focusing on the fact that I am. That's when I pass on a script, when it's just every page you're reminded that this person is 4.5 feet tall. Or if it sort of has nothing to do with the person, that's sort of, well, you're sort of avoiding the elephant in the room. There's a balance there. On that day when we were filming, we did a reenactment of Roger Moore stuffing Hervé Villechaize into an oversized suitcase, which is the end of A Man with the Golden Gun. It was a really bizarre day on set that day, being literally stuffed into an oversized suitcase, because I don't think I could ever do that. And that's not a judgment on Hervé's choice to say, okay, I will do that. It's just, it's really just not so nice.
No, it's not
nice. A little bit demeaning.
And
it's
also
not a little bit demeaning. I mean, yeah. It's completely
but
demeaning.
But it's completely acceptable. And that still happens today with people my size. And people are in charge of their own lives. They're free to do what they want career-wise. And I don't lay in judgment of it. But that's just something I have to be happy with who I am at the end of the day and in the eyes of my children.
And can I say one other thing about that actual thing? When Hervé Villechaize was filming that scene, they did it quite a few times, and he got really badly injured. You know, that back pain that came from that scene mm-hmm. was right there with him till the end of his life. And it was a huge source of not just, I think, emotional pain to him, because he was very grateful for Knick-Knack on one hand, but these things that, you know, Hervé was a very intelligent man. He was very articulate. He was very eloquent and, you know, urbane. He was incredibly well-educated. He was an award-winning artist. I mean, he understood the ramifications of these things, but the world as it existed then, at a certain point, he was imprisoned by the fact that he had to play the stereotype. There was no other option.
Right.
And I think that he was aware of that, and that sort of deeply hurt him because he felt it was his only option.
Peter and Sasha, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, John.
Sasha Gervaisi is the writer and director of My Dinner with Hervé. Peter Dinklage plays Hervé Villechaize and is a producer of the movie. It premieres on HBO on October 20th. And that's The Frame for today. I'm John Horn. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.